I don't know what kind of situation you're facing today, but let me just say this to you. You should never let an impossible situation intimidate you. Let it motivate you. Let that impossible situation motivate you to pray more, to believe more, to trust more, to expect more from God, to depend on God. You see, today's impossibility is tomorrow's miracle. You know, you recall the story that when the disciples were in the boat during a terrible storm and they woke up, Jesus, because he was sleeping in the boat, and in the middle of the storm, they asked one of the most profound questions in human existence. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're in this storm? You probably felt that question. I certainly have. Does God care about my problems? Does God care about my hurts? Does God care about what I'm going through right now? The stress that I'm feeling right this second? The worry, the fear, the anxiety that I'm feeling? Does God even care about that? The answer is yes. And I want you to join me today for Daily Hope as we discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs with part two of a message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life, taken from Psalm 3. And now, here's Rick.
Paul gives us his fourth joy builder in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, fix your thoughts, that's focus, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, where do you get a list of things like that? Talk radio? Not likely. Television? Is that where you're going to find things that are true and admirable and pure and excellent? No. The newspaper? Magazines? No. There's one place you can count on. It's this book. God's Word. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more positive, the more joyful you're going to be. Because this is true. This is right. This is admirable. This is worthy of value. And so fill your mind every day. Spend some time reading God's Word. You see, in your mind, there is this scale of the negative thoughts you get every day, the negative input, and the positive input. Now, you don't have to go looking for negative thoughts. They're all over. And people are more than happy to give them to you on a regular basis. And so as you just go through life, you get a lot of pebbles put on the negative side of your brain. And if you don't counterbalance that intentionally with God's truth, with God's Word, with positive thoughts and beautiful ideas, then you're going to get out of balance. And the negative is going to outweigh the positive in your life. And it's no wonder you're depressed. It's no wonder you're down all the time. It's no wonder you're discouraged. You don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Why? You don't have any food to feed the soul food that's going to equal out and equalize the negative in your life. Paul says, if you want to have joy, the fourth joy builder is to build or focus on what is good. Now, Paul practiced this himself. I mean, even when he's in prison, had every reason to be bitter, every reason to complain, every reason to have a pity party. All of his friends had left him. He's alone. He's old. He's in prison, unjustly going to be persecuted and executed. And while he was in prison, Christians turned against him and were attacking him incessantly. He was criticized unjustly. Now, if there's anything that takes away our joy any faster than criticism, I don't know what it is. Just let somebody say something about how you look or about what you said or make a judgment against you. Immediately, you lose your joy. You want to retaliate. You want to get even. You want to criticize back. You start stewing in your mind. And Paul says, I don't have time for critics. I have yielded myself to God's purpose. I'm focusing on what's good. The last thing I'm going to do is let some stupid critic rob me of my joy. And so he says, I'm not even going to allow other people to take my joy from me. I don't have time to mess with critics. Now, let me make a little application here. The reason why you're unhappy a lot of the time is because you get too concerned about trivial issues. The reason you lose your joy so rapidly is that you don't focus on the things that really matter. You allow unimportant things to upset you. How many arguments in your family are really over major issues? Isn't it true that a lot of the conflict in your life, a lot of the joy, killjoys in your life are over inconsequential things that aren't even going to matter 30 minutes from now, much less for eternity? And every time you get upset over an insignificant issue, you are letting the killjoys rob your joy for a dumb reason. Paul says, focus on what is good. That's your choice. And every day you're making a choice. Am I going to be joyful or am I going to be stressed out? You know, a couple weeks ago, I had to go pick up my car. It was being serviced at the dealer and had a very busy day. And when I got there early, I discovered that it was going to be another 30 or 45 minutes until it was done. Well, I lead a very busy life. And I had all these appointments lined up and I had everything knowing what I was going to do. And it was going to shove the whole day off kilter, because I was going to have to wait another 45 minutes for this car. Well, I'm standing there and I say to myself, self, what do I want to do here? Here's my choice. Am I going to get stressed out or am I going to choose joy? It's my choice to rejoice. Am I going to get stressed out by the fact that I can't control this and even worrying about it isn't going to change it? Or am I going to experience joy in this moment? So I said, self, I want to be joyful. So I looked around, and I found a little park bench right there by the service bay. It was a sunny day. I looked around. Nobody was sitting there. I walked over to the bench. I sat down. I laid out on it. I kicked my shoes off. I closed my eyes. I put my hands behind my head. I let the sun come down on my face. I listened to the birds sing. I prayed that no one would recognize Pastor Rick. That no one would say, could I talk to you about a problem? And for 30, 45 minutes, I just zoned out. I was in the joy zone. When I finished, I was a lot more calm, relaxed. It made the rest of my day. Now, that was a whole lot better than just pacing around, you know, the waiting room, waiting for the car to be finished and worried that these guys hadn't delivered it exactly when they were going to deliver it. That was my choice. And it's your choice too. Focus on what's good. The fifth key to being joyful is use my life to help others. That's the you in joyful. Use my life to help others. Now, Paul was joyful because he was unselfish. He invested his life in others. And if you want to have continuous joy in your life, here is the secret. Give your life away in helping others. Stop focusing on your little puny problems and aches and pains and start focusing on helping others. Become other-centered, and the more you give your life away, Jesus said, the more you find it. The more unselfish you become, the more joyful person you're going to be. The more self-centered you are, the more miserable, cranky, self-piteous type person you're going to be. Paul is in prison, and even in prison, he's thinking about other people. Chapter 4, verse 1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, I love you and I long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work. Paul's joy was the people he had invested his life in. Paul's joy were the people that he cared about, that he'd led to Christ, that he'd helped grow. He says, you're my joy. Probably the most famous line of all of Shakespeare's play is the phrase, to be or not to be, right? And what is that from? It's from Hamlet. Good. Yeah, this group is a little more intelligent than the last service. We had to sing, don't know much about geography in the last service. Yes, it's from Hamlet. And it's Hamlet's famous soliloquy. Hamlet is talking to himself. The Prince of Denmark is saying, to be or not to be, that is the question. You know what he's talking about? Suicide. Suicide. He was considering taking his life. And he's saying, I don't know whether I'm going to take my life or go on living in pain. Should I live or should I die? Should I live or should I die? To be or not to be? It's interesting. Paul said the exact same thing in Philippians chapter 3 for the exact opposite reason. The exact opposite reason of the Prince of Denmark. Hamlet's saying, I don't know what's worse, living or dying. I don't know what's worse. Which is more painful, for me to go on in my pain or for me to die in pain? And he said, I don't know which one's worse. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says the exact opposite. He says, I don't know which is better, to go to heaven or to stay here and serve people in the name of Christ. Which one's better? It's the same dilemma. It's a different point. And guess which one had the joy? Paul, because he was using his life to help others.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life from the series How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. You know, Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, and internationally for more than 30 years. He's the author of many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. And if you've been helped through Rick's ministry, he would love to hear your story. So please connect with us through the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org, or call us at 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or call us at 1-800-600-5004. More Daily Hope in a moment when Rick Warren returns.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick.
In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says the exact opposite. He says, I don't know which is better. He says this in the Living Bible. For me, living means opportunity for Christ. And dying, well, that's better yet. But if living will give me more opportunities to win people to Christ, then I really don't know which is better, to live or to die. He says, sometimes I want to live, and other times I don't, for I long to go and be with Christ. But the fact is, I can be of more help to you by staying. Now, how could death be possibly be a benefit to Paul? Because he knew where he was going. He was a friend of God. And Paul says, either way, I win. On earth, my purpose is to live for God. When I die, I get to go be with God. Get this. He has a purpose for living, and he has a purpose for dying. You can't get a man down who has that. That's his secret of joy. Purpose for living, purpose for dying. Do you? Do you have a purpose for living? Do you have a purpose for dying? If you don't, it's no wonder you don't have any joy in your life. Because you haven't yielded yourself to God's purpose, and you haven't got to know his son, so you're not ready to live, and you're not ready to die. You're miserable. Paul says, when I use my life to help others, it brings joy in my life. And so either way I win, whether I live or whether I die. Finally, Paul's last joy builder, the L in joyful stands for learn to be content. Learn to be content. In Philippians 4:11, Paul says, I have learned, circle that, to be content whatever the circumstance. It wasn't natural. He had to learn it. Now, of course, it's easy to be content when you're living on easy street, but Paul's life was not easy. It was very difficult. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us a little of his biography, and he says this, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one. In other words, I was whipped 39 times, 5 different experiences. Now, add that up. 5 times 39, you can figure out how many scars were on the back of Paul. 5 times 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been in constant danger. I've labored and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've even been cold and gone without clothing. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. In spite of all this, Paul says, no matter what happens, rejoice. In all situations, rejoice. And the Lord always rejoice. He says, I've learned to be content. Here's the bottom line. If you don't get anything else, get this. Joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. You are as joyful as you choose to be. And if you're discouraged today, it's because you're choosing to be discouraged. You can choose to be joyful because there are many things you can be joyful about. And God is saying here, if you learn to be content and you choose to make the right decisions, you can be joyful. You see, we get caught up in when and then thinking. When this happens in my life, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I get a job, then I'll be happy. When I graduate, then I'll be happy. When, you know, fill in the blank, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. You are as happy as you choose to be. You are as joyful as you choose to be, because joy is a choice. It's a choice. Now, some of you are facing some not so happy circumstances right now. And some of you, you're having to swallow a bitter pill right now, financially or physically or in a relationship. And you think, there's nothing in my life worth being joyful about. And you say, how in the world, how can I be joyful when everything is wrong in my life? Well, let me tell you two reasons. Look at the last two verses on your outline. Number one, I can always be joyful no matter what happens because I know God is in control. Paul says, I'm going to keep on being glad. Now remember, he's in prison awaiting execution. I'm going to keep on being glad. For I know that as you pray for me and as the Holy Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for my good. He says, I got a couple encouragements here. He says, you're praying for me and the Holy Spirit's helping me. But he says, here's the real issue. God sees it all. God knows it all. God cares about it all. God's in control of it all. God will use it for my good, and God will give me the power I need. So what am I worried about? Nothing. Now, granted, this isn't the way Paul had planned it. Paul wanted to go to Rome, rent the Colosseum, and have a Billy Graham crusade with him being Billy Graham. And that's what he wanted to do, to share God's love with all of the Roman Empire. Instead, he goes with his hands and feet shackled and put in a dungeon for 2 years with a 24-hour guard. Well, I'm sure he shared Jesus Christ with every one of those guards. If they changed every 4 hours, that's a couple thousand guards over a 2-year period. Who do you think was the real prisoner? Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You're not going anywhere. So Paul had a captive audience. The Bible tells us that even as a result of this, some of these praetorian guards took the good news back, and even members of Nero's own family became believers. That's what you call a chain reaction. And then, not only that, he did something else while he was in prison. Oh, yeah, he wrote most of the New Testament. Aren't you glad God made Paul sit still in prison? We wouldn't have the New Testament. If he'd gone out and Mr. Peripatetic Evangelist had been traveling all over, he would have never slowed down long enough to write what we now know are the inspired New Testament books. Paul had a plan, but God had a better plan. And Paul says, you know, I trust God's plan better than my own. Therefore, I am full of joy because I know that God has a better plan. And he says, I also know that God's going to write the final chapter. Look at the last verse. I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ comes back again. We get so frustrated and discouraged because we don't know what God's doing in our lives, but God knows. And what we need to do is trust him for the things we can't see how they're going to turn out, because we know that what God starts, he finishes. God has your best interest at heart. Therefore, no matter what happens, you can be joyful, because what he starts, he finishes. Paul was joyful no matter what, because he had a purpose for living and a purpose for dying. Do you? Deep inside, you're thinking, there's got to be more than this. And you're right. You were made to know God. You were made to have a relationship with him. You were made for his purpose, and you were made to share the love of Christ with other people. Do that, and you will have joy. That is the secret.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick will be right back with a closing thought. But first, I want to tell you about the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. Log on today, and there you can get today's entire message. You can get message notes, social media links. You can sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on now, rickwarren.org. And also, we don't have to tell you that life is filled with tough situations. You got stress, crisis, discouragement, depression, failure. And the Bible does offer time-tested answers to life's difficult questions. So taking you inside the lives of biblical characters such as Moses, Paul, and Jesus himself, Pastor Rick has written a book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. In it, he shares their stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights you can put to work immediately in your own life. And today, we would love to send you this special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions gives you the key to a better life. Change may not come overnight, it rarely does, but with patience and prayer, you will see a difference. And in this process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain the purpose and significance you were created for. So go ahead and give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. 1-800-600-5004. That number again, 800-600-5004. Now here's Rick with a closing thought.
The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now that doesn't sound like stuff on television. In other words, it's saying you need to focus on what's good, not the garbage, but the good in life. You see, the reason why many people are unhappy is because they get too concerned about trivial issues. You know how it is. We let the unimportant things upset us. How many arguments in your family are really over major issues? Not very many. Have you ever thought that a lot of the conflict in life is really over inconsequential things that aren't going to matter 30 minutes later, much less a day or a year or for eternity? That's why the Apostle Paul says to focus on what is good, and that's your choice. What you focus on is your choice. You cannot control the things that happen to you, but you can control what you choose to think about. And every day you make a choice. Am I going to be joyful or am I going to be stressed out? It all depends on what I focus on. You see, joy is a decision. You're as joyful as you choose to be. And if you're discouraged today, let me be blunt. It's because you're choosing to think discouraged thoughts, and you don't have to. You can change your thoughts. And God says that if you learn to be content and you choose to make the right decisions about what you're going to focus on, you can be joyful in any circumstance. The Bible says in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. Even in the worst of situation, there's a lot I can be thankful for. And when we get caught up in the when and then thinking of life, you know what I'm talking about. When this happens, then I'll be happy. We're going to miss the joy of life. When we think, when I get married, then I'll be happy. When I have a baby, then I'll be happy. When I graduate from school, then I'll be happy. When I get a new job, then I'll be happy. When I get a certain amount of money, then I'll be happy. When and then thinking is a guaranteed discourager in life. It'll rob you of your joy. You don't have to do that. You're as happy as you choose to be. You're as joyful as you choose to be. And so you can always be joyful because it's a choice. Why? Because God is in control of even the things that are out of my control. The Apostle Paul says it like this. I'm going to keep on being glad, for I know that as you pray for me and as the Holy Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for my good. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote those words? He's in prison awaiting execution. You're not there. You're not there. The point is this. Even in the worst situations, I can choose joy. And God sees it all. God knows it all. God cares about it all. And God is in control of it all. So what am I worried about? What do I have to worry about? The answer is, nothing if I trust God. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me next time as we look into God's Word for a daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.